Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to our Ecclesia Fellowship Gathering. I'm Frank Coleman. Thank you again for joining us. And as always, I just want to admonish you to stay on your wall. Continue to pray for this fellowship. Continue to pray for the body of Christ. I mean, really, that is the main thing. We need to pray for the body of Christ. There are some disturbing things going on, and tonight I'm going to cover a topic that I've been covering. You know, I guess this is just the mandate that God had put on my heart, is to share what the body of Christ should look like as opposed to what it is looking like today. I just want to continue to encourage every one of you to stay steadfast in God's word. And to study, to show yourself approved. Don't take my word for anything. Don't take any man's word for anything. Pick up your Bible and read for yourself. Because your personal Bible study and prayer can never be replaced by man's interpretations or all the systems and rules and regulations and all that good stuff that's going on in today's, quote, church, unquote. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this evening, Father God, giving you praise and glory and honor as always, Lord. We thank you for allowing us this time together. We thank you, Lord, for just giving us spirit, Lord, of wanting just to be with you, Heavenly Father. Lord, bless this time of fellowship. Bless the hearers and continue, Father God, to bless this fellowship and this gathering on a weekly basis, in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight, I may not be with you long, but tonight I'm going to be talking about a topic that I was thinking about this as, here's where I could put it. My mind is going so fast right now. Let's just take a visual. And let's just say that you're sitting in church, for those of you that continue to go to church, and for those of you that have left the institutional church, you can still see it because I'm sure you're there at one point in time. But let's just say that Pastor Jones, I'm not going to say Mr. or Miss, whatever, but Pastor Jones stands in front of you. The preparations have all been done. We've had our songs and we've had our collections and we've had our minds and we've had all of the preparatory things that go on in church today prior to the main event, which is the pastor sharing the word. And the pastor comes to the pulpit and he looks across the congregation. He looks back and forth, and he takes a deep breath, or she. And he decides he wants to pose a question. And he's looking at each one of the parishioners that are there while they wait with bated breath for his every word, knowing that they are the oracles of God, from what I've heard some people say. But anyway, all jokes aside. But anyway, let's just say that he or she stands there, and he looks at the congregation very seriously, and he asks this question. Why are you here? And then he pauses. And he waits. And he's asking the question. And I believe some people are just sitting there because they know that this is his time. So they know that this is probably just a setup. And that his next verse, that his next words will probably be, open your Bibles to, and a verse. But he asks again, why are you here? And I guess that question may be coming to them because they are beginning to come to some realizations of some things. Well, at least this particular pastor is, comes to a realization that this has become a pattern. The same people show up every week. Maybe one or two additional to offset the one or two that have left. And I guess he just really wants to know, with all those people that's been sitting there week after week, year after year, decade after decade, in those same spots, why are they there? So I really want to encourage you tonight. I really do. And some people might take it as encouragement, but then I think that many more would take it as a challenge, and I hope you take it as a challenge. But whether you take it as an insult or encouragement or a challenge, whatever, that's between you and God, okay? That's what I want to just let you know. Whatever happens tonight is between you and God, because I believe that God is unleashing some immense power around the world. And we're missing it. We are missing it. The power that God has given his body is not being exercised. It's not being used. God has given us spiritual gifts that are going stagnant. As they would say with a person that has an injury, a leg or arm injury, that doctors let them know that they have to exercise that limb in order for it not to atrophy or fade or lose strength. The body of Christ has no strength today. It is no body. It is a bunch of little heads. And real quick, I just had an imagination of a head pulling itself off from the body and just floating around. Talking, saying that he needs things done, and the whole congregation is filled with bodies with no head on them, and they can't see. They're flailing around, maybe wanting to do something, but can't because they're not connected. This thing we call church today, this worldwide business as usual thing, will no longer do. I mean, we need to really wake up and smell the coffee and step back and really ask ourselves some serious questions. What came to mind, I was thinking about a couple of years ago. Some of you know I am a firefighter. And a couple of years ago, Chicago was host to a couple of international summits, the G8 and the UN summits. And they were preparing us for it. We were in training for it. They were ordering special riot gear and special shields that we've been purchased for the police to help cover them up, special gas masks. We were being trained on crowd control. You know, the whole nine yards. Chicago was getting ready for a big and major battle, and thank God, you know, that was not needed. But being in the type of organization that I am in, we train on a consistent basis. We drill on a consistent basis. We try to make sure that our skills are honed so that when that emergency does happen, our reactions are automatic. It's not something that we have to think about. And I don't see that in the body of Christ today. I think things like this, being prepared for the worst, isn't really not that bad. It's, you know, we need to drill. The body of Christ needs to exercise its gifts that God has given us, but they're not being used. The church today is no closer to being ready for battle as they were before the biblical church was replaced with what is now masquerading as church today. We're no closer to being battle ready. 90% of the Christians today could not defend the Christian faith if an atheist walked up to them and posed the question. Yes, some of us can quote scriptures that we have been taught to mimic over the years. And we think it's so cute when our little 3-year-old or 6-year-old baby can stand there and quote a scripture verse or passage or even, you know, name all 66 books of the Bible. But they've been drilled that to do that. And by the time they reach their teenage years, they may still have some of those words in them, but they don't have them in them to the point that it can be exercised and used. That's because at that age, when you're teaching these children these things, God has put in us the ability to learn quickly and to assess quickly. But again, if we don't use that information, we lose it. And today, all of those little children that's running around quoting scripture verses because they've been drilled them by their parents and by the Sunday school teachers, they can't wait until they're old enough to run away. Now, what I'm talking about as far as being drilled is concerned is a practice that is long forgotten in the world of Christ today, long forgotten. And that is the practice of full participation in a worship gathering. That's what I'm talking about, a full participation. Today's church is not developing disciples. I'll just say it. We have an audience-based system that people go to from week to week with no true spiritual growth going on. The people that are in the audience, I'll just put it this way, like I said in my introduction, they wouldn't know a spiritual gift if it ran up and slapped them in the face. And what they're being fed as gifts are really just watered-down versions of what they believe are only available to a few special people. And as a result, these few special people are lifted up to do all the work that any and all believers in Christ were meant to do. And because we don't promote that free exercise of the gifts of the Spirit, the giftings of the Spirit, which we don't promote that. The only promotion is that someone with a special anointing, quote unquote, to do that office are the only ones that are able and are admonished to do anything. It's kind of like going to war. Okay, let's see. I'm going to use these war visuals here tonight. It's kind of like going to war. And you got 10,000 soldiers, but only 50 are doing any actual fighting. The rest are on the sidelines observing, watching things. Now, some of my shout, okay? Some of my come on, bro. Preach. Fight that fight. But the majority of them are content with the little meager things that are going on that they're getting in their lives, all the while complaining that God isn't moving like they want him to move. Might I venture to say that God isn't moving the way they want to move? Because you ain't moving. You are God's hands. You are God's feet. We have to do the moving. The people, you know, that come to you, you know, from day to day, week to week, saying, I've been praying this and I've been praying that, and God ain't doing, God ain't coming, God ain't fulfilling. You know, I don't know what the problem is, but I've been praying. Yeah, there's a time for prayer, but it's time to get up off your butt and do something, too. You know, that old saying that I've heard a long time ago, that God don't steer no parked car. People want to sit in a car and say, okay, I'm going to go to point B, but they don't put their foot on the gas. And then they complain that God hasn't done anything for them. You got to get up and you got to go. You got to make a step. You got to try something. You can't just sit there and get fat. Fat Christians are our problem today. They sit there, they get fed week after week. Oh, Lord. Oh, that was some good food the pastor gave us. Oh, that was some good food. Oh, my goodness. Did you get that food? Did you get that food? Oh, man, we ate that up. Oh, that was so good. Oh, he shouted. Oh, man, that was good. Ooh. And they just sit there getting fatter and fatter and fatter and not sharing what that information is, not going out. That's the thing. That bugs me to the point that I almost have to talk about it every week. And some of you don't want to come back. Oh, well, you know. But that's something that I think we need to talk about. And what I'm going to open up the lines and at least have them available to you. If you have any comments as I'm going through this, call in. Area code 347-996-5426. Again, that's 347-996-5426. And I'm going to try to keep my eye on the switchboard and see who's calling in. But I think that we really need to think about what it is that God wants us to do with our fellowships. Does he just want us to come week to week and sit there and just suck up lessons that we are receiving? Or does he want us to get equipped for battle, to get trained for battle, to drill for battle? Now, I want to contrast what's going on today in today's church, quote unquote. I want to contrast that with another reality. Another reality is this: when the church began, there was a communion of what I would call pure worship, where the strength of the fellowship was gathered directly from the Holy Spirit. The outcropping of that gathering was that people shared the cares that weighed upon their hearts, and they were in communion with and for each other. And once they became transformed, I mean really transformed, not just preach that, not just coming forward and saying a few words in a prayer and now you're saved, but they were once truly transformed from the inside out. When they became transformed, they dispersed out into the community and they became witnesses for Christ. They became witnesses of the life and the truth. They became witnesses sharing the gospel for the rest of the week. Now, today we talk about, you know, getting together once a week, and that's equipping people. But really, I mean, if you read the Bible, you see that they didn't just meet once a week. A lot of times they met on a daily basis, day by day. But you know what? What happened and what continues to happen is that in the church world today, the greater the pastor is, the more dependent the layman, quote unquote, the laymen are. You got the clergy and the laymen. But the greater the pastors, the more dependent the laymen become. And the bigger and better he becomes, the gap is even more wide. And we see evidence of it not just in the fact that he is the only one up there getting, you know, doing all of the preaching. We see it economically. There's a gap between these great pastors and their congregation monetarily. We see a gap between how people respect them versus the lay person. There's gigantic gaps, and those people begin to get put up on pedestals and worshipped almost. It's sad, but it's true. And that gap is getting wider and wider and wider as these men and women of greatness, the only way I can put it, that we place on this pedestal begin to separate themselves from us or from the lay people. Begin to separate themselves from their, quote, their people, from their congregations. The gap gets wider and wider and wider to the point that Sister Susie comes in and she has an issue she wants to talk to her pastor about, but she has to make an appointment. Again, sad but true. And unless that pastor or the head of that fellowship, unless they are a rare exception, it is very rare that they'll be able to, you know, transfer those followers and transmute them into leaders. That's very rare. Today, most of these followers will remain hushed in the shadow of greatness, quote unquote, greatness. Most people are hunched in the shadow of their pastors. And a lot of people stay hunched in that shadow for decades, willingly, quote unquote, being in service, but never truly going out and working and sharing Christ with others. Their service works is to the pastor and to the building and to, you know, other things. That is their work of service. What I want to look at is what the communal meetings of the early believers might have looked like. Now, next week, we're going to go into a lot more detail. This week, I'm going to kind of like do a little outline, kind of a preparation for the next couple of weeks, because I want to dig deep into what the early believers actually did in their church services, in their fellowships. I'm not going to say church service, in their fellowships. And I'm going to read some scriptures, of course. And I'm taking these examples from what I read in the scriptures. And I'll look at some of the actual scripture verses a little bit later, but that's what I'm going to. But here's what I got from my studies. And some of you, again, if you've got some information that you want to add as I share, you know, bring it on. You know, call area code 347-996-5426. We'll give you the floor. But here's what I saw in my study. That an elder, and we're going to, you know, really define elder, which basically just meant an older person, an experienced person. They usually call the meeting to order. And what they usually did is they said that somebody had something to say, had an encouraging word they wanted to share. Okay? And that share was done informally. And most times it was just done from where they were sitting. They didn't have to get up and get on the stage or get at the podium to share. They just did it from where they were. And the people in the congregation, the people that was gathered together, expressed joy at these words of encouragement. Then after that was done, the floor was not open for anybody else that had anything to say. And again, joy at the exhortations we were given. And then after each comment, after each exhortation, after each encouragement, after each statement, questions were answered and fielded out there. People were able to go back and forth and ask questions. Oh, Brother Joe, you said blank, 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 and this is how I feel about that. And a discourse happened. People began to talk. Ooh, my God, talking church. No, can't do that. But people began to talk, share, encourage, pray for each other. Every once in a while, one of the overseers or shepherds or elders, whatever you want to call them, every once in a while they might have interrupted to maintain order or clarify a point, but that was as far as it went as far as the elders and things like that were concerned. They weren't interested in becoming one of these men and women of greatness. They were just a part of the fellowship. They were called elders, again, because they were more experienced. They had a little bit of wisdom. And elders are grown, not assigned. There's no ceremony to send an elder out. Elders come from within the body. But the bottom line was that there was freedom for everybody. Voices of concern, of love, and compassion were heard. Nobody was denied freedom to share words of comfort and exhortation with the group. There was no platform, like I said before, there was no platform for a person to get up on. There was no pulpit for somebody to lean on to look cool while they're making their point. Somebody might have had a song of praise that would just spontaneously be lifted up. Special prayers are being lifted up. Gifts of the Spirit are in operation in a gathering like that because they are encouraged. The gathering then shared a meal. Some people might want to call it the Lord's Supper if they want to, but they gathered. They were a community. They worked and lived and loved together. No money was collected to pay for a big building. In a few instances that we did hear of money being collected, there were special offerings. And I think I mentioned it last week. There was a special offering that was collected for the fellowships in Jerusalem because there was some persecution going on. There was some famines going on. There was another ruler that came in place and was placing some heavy burdens on those on the early Christians. So special collections were taken back to the fellowships in Jerusalem to help out. We find that gatherings like this, God's people were able to instruct one another and to teach and admonish one another. Let's look at one of those scriptures right now. Let's look at Romans chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 14. Romans 15 and 14. where it says that, "And I myself," this is Paul's letter to the church, to the fellowships in Rome, says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Filled with all knowledge. That's something that we can do. We can be filled with the knowledge of Christ. And we can admonish each other. As it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's look at that real quick. Colossians 3, 16. And you can only get this from studying his word. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in hymns, in psalms, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We are able to teach each other, believe it or not. There was a mutual exchange of praises and teachings and sharing and singing. No one person did it all. There was no praise leader. There was no special, you know, group bands and all of that stuff. Everybody worked together. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation as the Spirit led. Do you see that today? Is that really happening today? Or are you just going to a concert followed by a motivational speech? Or in between a few times of collecting money? And at the end, some nice, soft, smooth music to warm your heart and to get you to come forward to say a quick word of prayer and be declared saved. Is that what goes on in your fellowships? That's a good question. Let's look at the detail on some of this. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just, 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to go to the first verse. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. The gifts were in operation. They were in operation as the Spirit led. And that's one thing that we don't really see. We don't see a whole lot of Spirit-led gatherings today. They are programmed gatherings. They have a set procedure as to what is going to happen during that 2 to 3 hour time slot. That, you know, 10:01, this happens. 10:15, that happens. 10:30, that happens. 11 o'clock, that happens. You know, they know automatically, week by week, what is going on because it is programmed. But according to 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1, it says that now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calling Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there were diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given what? To every man to profit with all. I mean, repeat that again. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, to profit everybody. Okay? And this is where some people get tricked up. Verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Okay, and what I mean by how some people get that mixed up is that because the Bible says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, they take that one or that words, those words to that thing, or to another, as meaning there can only be one person in that fellowship that has a word of wisdom. Only one is the healer. Who's the prophet in this fellowship? The prophet. I don't want to say that. The prophet. Who is the prophet in this fellowship? Who is the working of miracles? Who is the person that can interpret tongues? And they turn those things into offices. But here it's just talking about to one being at the time the Lord wants to work. He can use one here, one there, one everywhere as he wills. But once somebody gets working in one of these operations of the Spirit, they or someone else in that fellowship wants to make them the prophet, the teacher, the whatever, and thus building of offices where people sit. And basically that becomes their job, quote unquote. Let me continue. Verse 11 says, but all these worketh that one, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Dividing to every man as God wills. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Can you get that? Man, we mess stuff up so much. But just imagine, just think about this. That same army I talked about before. I think before we talked about an army having a 10,000 people and only 50 were out there doing something. But let's just imagine that we had the same army of 10,000. And all of them were operating in various forms of warfare. All of them were being led by the Spirit of God to occupy the areas of battle that's best suited for victory. All of us, all of the people in the fellowship, be equipped, being taught these different areas. You don't take somebody and say, okay, now we're going to train you. You need to come to prophet school. You need to go to this prophetic conference so you can be a prophet. And that's really, Frank, stop. That bugs me. It really does. No less than 3 invitations a week I receive via email, via things like that, to come to somebody's prophetic conference. I don't see too many foot washing conferences. I don't see too many feed the sick conferences. I don't see too many service conferences. I did see one, a handmaiden conference to teach you how to be a handmaiden. And I did see one effective altar worker conference. When they say handmaiden, they talk about handmaiden to the pastors and to the other leaders of the church, where you can just be their flunky Okay, I'll be the one bold enough to say it. And how to be an effective altar worker, how to smack them on the forehead just the right way so they can fall, and how to catch. All the conferences you will see have to do with supporting and upbraiding that system of church today to make sure that it continues. I got an email from a minister, I love his teaching, but I had got an email and he was promoting himself as a conference speaker, and that there was words of support and encouragement coming from pastors around the United States that were really excited that you really need to get this guy in to speak for your church. You really need to get this guy in. Oh, the words of God come flow through him so well. Boom, 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 boom. You know, and you're getting that, and it just hit me. Wow. A lot of these guys is running around with their conferences and their calendars filled with invitations to speak is not really coming to speak to share Christ. A lot of them have a program that talks about a certain small area that they are specialized in, and it has become a business, the conference business. That's why you see so many churches having conferences, because there are a lot of preachers running around, and that is their specialty, conference speaking. And they feed, and they are fed by these churches that, you know, most of the people can't really afford to go to a Four Seasons or something like that. But they'll put together something like sort of once a year, and they can get a taste of what the pastors have been getting all year. And that's living this level in this hotel away from everything, and they can get to spend the $200, the $300, the $500, whatever the weekend package is. And all that's going to this group of people running around from church to church, hotel to hotel, week to week, with their calendars full, and that is their job. Some people say, well, that's great. They're equipping the body. I challenge you to find 1% of those people that are going to those conferences that are effectively serving the body as a whole. The church is not battle ready. We have gone professional. That's what's happened. And that's what I'm talking about. We've gone professional. The body of Christ has gone professional. And again, if you got a problem with what I'm saying, call in. You know, challenge me on this, okay? Area code 347-996. 5426. Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think I am. But, you know, straighten me out, okay? 347-996-5426. I don't think I'm wrong. I could be. But all I know is that we have abandoned common ground of the of one anothering, of each of us being a part of this thing. We have abandoned that in favor of skilled professionals, skilled specialists. I think part of that is because a lot of people, a lot of congregations just want the world to know how sophisticated we've become. Look, we go all out to import these speakers with these credentials. We go all out to build the fanciest buildings, the biggest buildings. Doggone it, let's buy out a football stadium so that the world can see how big we've become. the bottom line is this. We've accepted idolatry. So what's the answer? Is there an answer? And I'll just put you like this, and I'm about to wrap this thing up. Like I said, next week I'm going to go into a lot more detail. But, of course, I don't have one sure answer to the situation. I don't have the answers. I don't profess to have the answers. My only answer right now is come from among them. If you are in a fellowship that resembles a concert in a motivational speaking circuit, and nobody in there is doing any effective ministry, going out, talking to people, praying with people, but it's only being done in that building on a Sunday by five or six people at the most. No, five or six people, or a whole bunch, you know, that's in the choir, and then the whole bunch that's in. But anyway, what I'm saying is, I don't have an answer, but get out of there. Try to find your own answer. Get along with God. Let him tell you what to do. What I look for when I get together with brothers and sisters in Christ is I look for some pure worship. I look for some sharing between us. I look for there being, you know, some free ministry. Someone might have a word of encouragement for me, great. I might have a word of encouragement for you, great. God might reveal something in one person to tell one of the other people. Great. I look for time to share, for us to share ideas, to share what's going on in our lives with and for each other. So that leads me back to the initial question that I started with. That pastor standing in front, and he's asking people, why are you here? Are you here to commune with the body of Christ and to exercise the gifts that God has placed in you through exhortation and encouragement? Or are you there as a spectator watching the special people do their thing? Waiting for the whistle to blow to go back to your own special brand of business as usual. So I'm going to close it with this. The answer is really up to you. That's up to you. The future of the body of Christ is up to you. Victory or defeat is up to you as you are led by the Spirit. And I hope I put a lot on you because it is up to you. It's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to us to share this vision of one anothering, of us being the body of Christ as a whole. Not these big eyes and little U's that we see running around here. We have to stop enabling these people that think they are too important. I don't have much more to say, but, you know, right now, again, like I said, next week we may go into a little bit more detail, but tonight I just wanted to lay some groundwork on that. And I know I'll probably do some rehashing next week, and God knows I might get some rehashing for the next month. But I believe this is just that important. Yeah, we can go back and we can ask, you know, questions about, you know, is it okay for us to sacrifice animals today, or, you know, what about getting together on the Sabbath, or why don't we do this? And, you know, it's great having, you know, spiritual discussions about the Bible and things like that, but we spend so much time debating and fighting each other with these questions. But we're still not ministering with and for each other. We're not gathering and fellowshipping. We are debating all the time, each other. I was reading sometimes, trying to see if I can remember this little joke. It just cracked me up so much when I was reading it. But it's this one guy, I'm going to see if I can remember it. I hope I don't blow it. I'm not a good joke teller. But basically, you got these two kids. One of them was trying to get the other one to go to his church. And the second kid was saying, well, you know, I would really like to come to your church, but I don't think we're in the same abomination. that's how he took the word. You know, he didn't think that they were in the same abomination. I hope that our fellowships and our churches have not become an abomination into the eyes of God. I think it has. I think it is abominable what the church today has done to the body as a whole by making the body non-effect, by allowing people in the body of Christ to not learn how to fellowship with and for each other. Every once in a while, they might have a little get-together. But again, it's programmed. You'll know exactly when they're going to have a special get-together. But you better be there next Sunday. You better be there next Sunday on time. But with that, again, no callers on the line. I'll take that as a sign that you are in agreement with what it was I shared. But we're just gonna end it with that. And Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this time of fellowship, and we thank you, Lord, for allowing your Spirit to move tonight, Lord. Continue to bless your people, Father God. Again, just open their eyes. Those that have not had their eyes open yet, and allow them, Father God, to see your truth in your word as they read it. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Good night, everybody.